Yeah, this is definitely something I have been needing to do for a long time. Welcome to Philosophical Coffee, or whatever the hell this thing is. So I recently started back up my podcasts, and it's wonderful because I do these audios all over the place all the time with my friendships, and it's at a point where I got to get them out there because I love the conversations I have here, and it really gives a depth. It really, really brings a depth to all my work, to everything. It's, I know when I'm writing, I sound like X, and I know that's not depicting me properly because I can't say I'm in character. I've stepped into and have embraced the essence of that part of me, and the writing brings out that part of me. And I talked about this the other day with Mabel Sanchez, where I've got my unicorn sunshine kitty and my Mabel from Gravity Falls. And then I've got my Rick Sanchez on the other side. Those are my two extremes. Those are my two metrics. And I've integrated them. So I am Mabel of Gravity Falls and Rick Sanchez in one. It's really awesome. I love my life. And I have two metrics in my life. I have my Substack, Something Different, where my Mabel comes out and it's all Princess Unicorn Kitty from Lego Movie. But then on the other side, my AnnaImagination.com, I'm all Rick Sanchez research right there. Like, that's, you guys don't see it, but I imagine it. It's the day he created the portal gun and he's in the back and he's writing on, you may have seen it for like 2.2 seconds with music playing and time was sped up and you saw him writing on a whiteboard. That's not easy to say. And that's about all you guys saw of the science, quote unquote. But trust me, it was like 40 years of that, okay? 40 years of it. And you're in the zone. You don't focus on anything else. Plato referred to that as the divine manic. Yes, that's exactly what you call that, divine mania. It's a real thing. Google it, Plato, divine mania. Boom, you're going to get a whole lot of reading material. So and that's actually what is happening to the planet right now. A whole lot of you are like, okay, I'm just going to be blunt. A whole lot of you are my bees. And you're like picking up on divine mania because I set out a whole lot of logical things out there. And you're like tapping into my radiant energy from Magian and you're bringing it all down. And yeah, that's been fun to watch. That's been really fun to watch. And you guys make a wish. I then turn around and I do a logical code to get you your wish, like abundance. And then I put it out there and then you guys get activated so you can get your wish. And then you're going, oh, wow, I have divine mania now. Yeah, that's right. I just kickstarted your dream. And now I got a whole bunch of bees. And I watch the bees. That's what I do, is I watch the bees. And as people make wishes, I create logical code to clear the path so that they can overcome their obstacles so they can get their wish faster, easier, better. And it's basically, okay, you guys don't want to read the manual. The manual is going to come to you. So that's what I did. And I put it in the God Wi-Fi and then I dropped it down with a download setting. It's really cool. It's in the servers. Anyway, so I have my world. I have my understanding. And this is where every one of us has a story that we have to tell ourselves. And it's not telling yourself. It's you have to understand you. And if you don't understand you, you are insane. I had a whole conversation the other day that insanity really doesn't exist. So let's try a different word. If you don't understand you, then you are disoriented in chaos. That's it right there. You are disoriented in chaos because you don't have the logic to create order in your own comprehension. There you go. There you go. So you really have to know your story. The problem is your story is made up of a whole lot of components that you are completely unaware of. I think my favorite time, every time I do Philosophical Coffee, I think my favorite time is that moment when I get to open my Expo marker. I really do. I love the moment. I'm going to do in pink today. I'm not going to do purple. So here it goes. Oh, that's no squeaking. No, I got to do my squeak. No, we're going to do purple, guys. Okay, there we go. So apparently only the purple one squeaks. Okay, so there are the components. And this is it right here. It's the components of your story. Get out a pen and a paper, please. And this is it right here. It's the components of your story. If you do not know the components of your story, oh, you're going to be in a lot of hurt. So we're going to start with this. You have to know your origin. This is one I really want to write down because this is one I've been meaning to write down and just haven't gotten around to it. So I'm also going to write this one down when I'm done. And I'm going to transfer it over. And then you can ooh and ah edit later. So if you don't have a pen or a paper, I'm going to go ahead and drop this down underneath the audio. That way you can have it for your own copy, paste needs and go, oh, there's the manual. Well, it's part of the manual. I'm going to give you part of the manual. So the first thing you're going to need is your origin. Now, this is where people mess this up. They think my origin is my parents. No, no. You need to know about the hierarchy. Hierarchy. Hierarchy means the order of Hera. Literally, that's the ancient Greek for order of Hera. So Hera's order. Hera is, well, it, hi. Hi, it's me. It's God, mother nature. Like it's me. So basically it's logic. It's the order in which we all are born. So we all come from, well, hi, me. So you have origin, Lady Wisdom. And then after that, you have generations, children generations. This is hierarchy. It goes from left to right always. It does not go up and down. It goes from left to right. Now, the further along, this is generation. So you have the origin and then you have Gen 1. Now, I'm going to be blunt. The people who are most nourished right now, the people who are most advanced in their spirituality, the ones who woke up first are closest to the origin. The people who are further away are the ones who are not as, they're the ones who haven't woken up yet. This is why they haven't woken up. It's because they're further away from the origin. So we're waking up in the order in which our generations are. So you have your origin, and then you have Gen 1, you have Gen 2, and then you have Gen 3. Now, Gen 1 through 2 is what I refer to as the Pantheon. That is my family. And then you have Gen 3 and on. So everyone else is Gen 3 and on. And yeah, that's pretty much where we are. And these are my Bs. So my Bs are Gen 3, 4, all the way up to, you know, we all know that number, 144,000. Okay, that's what it is. It's the 12 of the 12. Okay, those are the Bs. And then you have everyone else, the all, the mass. So right now we're being triaged. That's what's going on. We're all being triaged. So when I say origin, I am not referring to your parents. I am referring to your story, your very first memory, your very first memory. So now this is really gets interesting because a lot of people are talking about their past lives memory. I have none. I have none over the last 2,000 years. My very first memory is literally the beginning. I remember the beginning. I remember so much from that time period. I remember that. I remember the Garden of Eden. I remember that. And that's the last memory I have. I had then in 1980, that's where my memories start. So I have the Garden of Eden and 1980. I have a gap. There's no memory there. I have no idea why. It's weird. I'm looking for people who actually have the same thing. Does anyone have any memory or less? I have none. Like I have complete blank. It's fascinating to me. I have everything before the Garden of Eden. I have everything before the Garden of Eden. And that's the end of it. I have nothing after that. I remember, oh, the snake and I had a thing. But anyway, yeah, that's God. That's God was actually the snake. So that I remember. I remember all of that. And then 1980 when I was born. I remember nothing for that time period. There's just nothing there. And I'm going, fascinating, just fascinating. And it's fascinating. Like I can look at Bat Zabai, and Bat Zabai is like, I have no memory of being Bat Zabai, but I feel connected to her. So I'm asking the question, was I Bat Zabai? But I have no memory, just nothing. So this is where it got fascinating to me because I'm looking at it going, well, where the fuck was I? Like, what happened after the garden? And that's my question, what happened after the garden? I have no idea. They lied. It's not what it says in the Bible. I know that. I know that because I have that memory. That right there is like a thing. So when I talk to people, one person I spoke with, he remembers four people. And I'm like, well, you remember four people. That means you didn't come into existence until there were at least four of us. And he is like, no, there's four in the beginning. No, dipshit, there's not. No. And but he's a baby. He's really, really a baby, which means he really shouldn't be arguing, which is why he's a dipshit. You're a dipshit for arguing with people older than you. That's what makes you stupid. Don't argue with people older than you. So this is where it gets really, really interesting, is when you get your origin, when you get your very first, your oldest memory, you got to make sense of it. And this is what people are trying to do. They're trying to make sense of it. The problem is they're so uneducated, they don't know how to look at the right content. They run to the worst thing they could possibly run to, the Roman Empire. So the Trojans are the assholes who did all of this to us. The Trojans and one other person who I don't like to use his name. I'm going to call him Sifra. Sifra in the story is like the Sauron. Actually, he's like the Morgoth. Sifra is our Morgoth, okay? So I don't like to talk about Saruman. I don't like to talk about Sauron. Those are his lackeys. No, I'm going right to the source. I'm looking at you, Morgoth. That's where I'm at. So it's a god thing. It's like, yeah. So when I look at the Trojans, that's agent of Morgoth. When I look at Marduk, especially Marduk, that's just an agent of Morgoth. I'm looking at Morgoth. He's the asshole. And that's Sifra. I call him Sifra. Now, oh yeah, I have serious loathing for that asshole. So this is really between Morgoth and I. This is really like, it's personal. It's personal. And I have a lot of rage, hatred, loathing, but like that's an old history. So you're not going to find him anywhere in the books. What you guys are going to find is Marduk, but he's working for Morgoth. You're going to find the Trojans, but you guys love the Trojans and you are their agents. Most of you are, but you don't know it. You don't know that you're rooting for Hitler. You guys haven't figured that out yet. So basically, and then this is a great way to put it. The Trojans are Hitler in this story, and they took away all of your education, turned you into Hitler's youth, and you keep grabbing Hitler's books to learn more about the truth. Oh, don't do that. And none of you have figured out that you're reading Hitler's books. So you keep grabbing Hitler's books and you keep studying Hitler's books. And Hitler has an agenda, which is taking you as far as he can off of the anchor point, way off into left field. I'm so sick of watching this. So there's people who are so uneducated that they're reading Hitler and they think they're reading God's work. Oh my God, my husband would never write this shit, guys. We have higher quality than this. Oh my God. Oh my God. So there's a huge education gap between Hitler's youth who don't know they're Hitler. That's it right there. Is the majority of the spiritual community is Hitler's youth and they don't know it. And they're reading Hitler's How to Be Like Hitler books without realizing that that's what they're reading. So it's taking them far off into left field. And one of Morgoth's gorgeous little tricks, which is just dirty, dirty as fuck, is confusing love, which is exactly how he works. He contaminates love. So you're all going, oh my God, love, that's how he gets you. And the only way to reject it is if you're wise. None of you like wisdom. Well, I mean, you guys do, you're here. But everybody else rejects wisdom. And as a result, they go for the dumb bay of fake love. So now you've got all these love lovers who are chasing love, thinking it's the god of love. My husband would never do this. My husband had me in the beginning because he was smart enough to go, I need wisdom for this. Yeah, thank you. So you've got all of this. It's all set. And this starts around 500 BCE. So if you are in the 500 BCE, I would even go 700 BCE era. If you are reading any content prior to or after 700 BCE, you're reading lies and garbage. You have to be very careful. You have to be knowledgeable about what you're reading. There's also something called the Neo-Mesopotamia literature factor. Neo-Mesopotamia literature is a quote writing style. It's not a writing style. It's called a writing style by archaeologists who read Hitler's youth. And that writing style, not a style, is rewriting history in your favor in present day as if it were written in the past. This became a trend. This was a trend that began around 1200 BCE. Babylon. Marduk is the one who created this little concept. Hey, I could just invent my own prophecy about this moment right now and claim it's thousands of years old and people will believe it. And they did, and they do, and they are believing it to this day. So that became a thing around 1200. Now, prior to that, it literally was never done. No one ever did this. It was like the first moment. It's called Marduk's prophecy. It's literally like the high point, the marker in society, in all of civilization, where some asshole got in the idea that they could just change the history books in modern time. Right there, boom, there it is. So that became the trend, and it is still in practice to this day. So if you are reading literature from 1200 BCE and after, you are most likely falling for this crap, which means if you do not have a Pyotostat to measure this stuff, you're not going to get anywhere. So this is origin. This is just origin of story. We haven't even gotten to the other parts of the story. We're talking about the components of your story, and we haven't even made it out of origin yet. So this right here is the problem, is no one even knows how to get your first marker, which is why everyone's way off in left field with it. This is why I have no friends. This is it right here. So when you put together your origin story, you have to take all of these mathematical lying variables into account and actually do the science to figure out all the lies. Truth, logic, wisdom are the only things that are going to weed through that garbage. So that's origin. The next component you're going to need for your story is your heading, your archetype. Now, here's the problem. Most people don't know what an archetype is. The other problem you're going to have with your archetype is your archetype can be too big for you. So you have to do baby step archetypes, a baby archetype. Now, the archetype comes from Socrates. I strongly recommend you read Socrates' archetype. But you must know this. Socrates' archetype is actually stage 2 archetype. That is for after you are at the 36th ethic, which means if you have not reached the 36th ethic, you should not be doing Socrates' archetype. It's too big for you. You're not going to do it. This is why Christianity has failed, is because Jesus is a number 2 archetype. God is a number 2 archetype. Humans can't do that. Humans need a number 1 archetype. So this is the problem. You need a number 1 archetype. Your number 1 archetype should only ever be your dream self. So by the time you go into Plato's school or Socrates' school, it is assumed that you have already achieved 36 ethical perspective archetype 1. But that's not written in the books. That's actually written on the outside of the university. And it said, let no man who has not studied geometry enter these walls, which means if you have not done the core basics before you're 12 years old, you are not ready for my work. And all you people are reading his work and you're not ready for it. You haven't completed the prerequisites. So 100% of every person, every Trojan today is prematurely reading content they are not ready for because they have not done the foundation. You should have gotten the foundation when you were 2 years old. Most likely that did not happen because you're Trojan. As a result, you have a problem. So you need to have your dream self accomplished. If you are not at your dream self, you are not ready for philosophy. You have to do your archetype number 1 first. Now, to do archetype number 1 first, Jesus is not going to help you with that. That's archetype number 2. Really, there is no content out there for archetype number 1. The Persians had that content. Now, that's what I got. Thank you, Persians. So the old Persians gave you that. The Magi gave you that. That's what Jesus got from the Magi. He received how to achieve archetype number 1 at the 36th ethical perspective first. Then you're ready for Socrates. So I knew this when I studied at 12 years old. So I knew when I read Socrates, I went, yeah, God is, I'm not there yet. I need to go into archetype number 1. So I knew to pick out Abigail Adams. I used Abigail Adams. I used Booker T. Washington. Those were my 2 role models. Abigail Adams for her wisdom and Booker T. Washington for the man got out of slavery and I was a slave and I also needed to get out and I wanted that inspiration. So I used Booker T. Washington and Abigail Adams. And I was able to achieve archetype number 1. Then I built archetype number 2. You don't get into where I am as archetype number 5. So when you build up the archetype, it is literally the progressional road of getting you to where you want to go. That is your heading. So first you have to master human. If you haven't mastered human, you're not going to get there. The 12 ethics are the path for mastering human. So you have your origin. You have your heading, your archetype. The next thing you're going to need is your skills. You are going to need to know which skills you do want. You're going to need to know what you want to be good at. That is going to be your story, is your skills. Now, this is privileged information only for ancient Greeks. Only the ancient Greeks knew this. This is like the key of all ancient Greek wisdom and knowledge. I really should do a whole nother, this is going to be part one. Yeah, this is going to be part one because I know what I'm unpacking here. And this is a whole nother thing. This is big. So I'm going to start it, but I'm definitely going to cut this off and then I'm going to have to continue it in the next episode because this one is huge. The ancient Greeks, when it came to skills, understood this is the I think, therefore I am, therefore I think. No. What it is you do, therefore you am, you are. Yeah, you do, therefore you are, you become, therefore you are. So if you want to, and it starts off with a skill, and you choose the skill you want. Like I'm gonna use my best friend here. She's story. Now, that's all she is. She is story. And then she studied story until she became story. And then she studied story until she became story. And now she is story. Now she is an embodiment of story. She's going to be anyway. It's funny because I remember her with my memory, but she doesn't remember me yet. It's fascinating. She's my sister. Like it's amazing. It's really, this is the frustrating part is when I meet people, I know who they are, but they don't know who I am yet. So I have to wait for them to mature, to remember, to wake up. And it's just, yeah. So I have a whole lot of people and I know who they are. And I'm just waiting for them to remember me. And she's one of them. She is the embodiment of story. She just hasn't gotten there yet. So I'm watching her in the early stages of her skill building as she becomes, and then she will be. So the way the Greeks set this up, maybe I can condense it a lot more than I thought I could, but the way the Greeks did this is they knew this. They knew when you choose a skill and you master it, you become it. And once you choose to become it, you become the embodiment of it. And that is why when you look at the names of these gods, goddesses, all of us, we are, our names were the verbs, were the subject, were the discipline. So I'm going to use Nemo Singh as an example. Nemo Singh is the goddess bard. She is master of all the bards. She is the mother bard. And she is memory. That is her name, memory. She is literally memory itself. So let's say, and this is amazing, our skills are the seeds of the gods we're going to become. So if you're not focused on the skill building, you're going nowhere. Only skill builders get this privilege. This is purely skill building. I was the dumbass, because I'm wisdom, who said I want it all. That's it. That's the wisdom. So you reach a point. And this is the beautiful thing. I went through this period of metaphysical discussion with myself, or existential discussion with myself. This is beautiful. I've already worked it out. So I'm going to show you the argument that I had, but I already had the answer and I already worked it out. I asked the question, am I wisdom because I chose the seeds, or did I choose the seeds because I am wisdom? I chose the seeds because I am wisdom. If you are being compelled to collect the seeds, you are. You just haven't remembered. It's beautiful. So you already are who you are. You just don't remember. So your future self is already, you're done. Now, this is where people could argue the free will garbage. But this is like a person with amnesia going, I don't have free will. You've already done it. Your past and your future are confused in you. You've put your future in your past and your past in your future, and you haven't figured that out yet. You'll figure it out. You'll figure out that your future and your past are reversed. And that's fun. That's a whole nother. Oh, I love that. I love that so much. I love everything about that part. When I discovered that part, that was like, that makes so much more sense. So this is all about making sense of your story. Basically, you have to put your story in the right order. So your story is disordered. That's what's going on right now. That's why no one can remember. It's because your story is out of order. So once you put your story in the right order, literally your memory comes back to you. But they have it in the wrong order. So they're looking at the past. They really shouldn't be doing that. As the past, which is why they've messed it up. Once you realize that the past is actually your future, the whole thing makes sense. Greek mythology, see this is the part of Greek mythology that people haven't figured out. And this right here is the, I'm going to blow this thing wide open. So once upon a time, there was something called Magian. Magian is an absolute unknown science to everybody in the world right now, except for myself. Magian comes with a consequence or a side effect called an oracle, which is why the ancient Greeks had oracles, is because they were studying Magian. So they knew that the moment you are, the word I'm looking for, prone to Magian. I don't like the word prone. I got to figure out another word for it. But if you are talented in Magian, if you have potential for Magian, then your oracle skills are going to wake up early. So we're going to put O for origin to indicate that you've always had oracle skills. But that does not make you a Magian master. That just means you have the potential. Now, this is enough for many humans, and they never go beyond this. And these are your witches. These are your spiritual people. They can do a little bit of, they can work on their potential and their talent only, and they never go any further. The people who try and go further might make it to level one or two. But the longer you're messing around with pine cones, the longer it's going to take you if you go any further, because you're thinking too material. It's not going to work. You're going to be locked out of Magian. And if you're rejecting wisdom, logic, science, you'll never go any further, because this is Magian. This is physics. This is all the sciences. You have to have all the sciences in order to do any of this. And the core is logic, which is why every single discipline is a logi, is because you're dealing in a logic. So this is where it gets really, really fascinating, is the people, the entire culture of ancient Greece revolved around Magian. And it trended. And the trending Magian became a nightmare, just like ours today. It's the exact same thing. Magian trended, and it turned into that crap that Pliny the Elder called magic. Magic is not Magian. Magian is the actual real shit. Magic is the low quality, the mediocre wannabe. We're going to call magic the mediocre wannabe. That's exactly what it is. So right now, just like it was, and it's not just like it was, it was a vision. So you had all these oracles looking at the year 2025. And when they saw the year 2025, they wrote books about it. The gods did this, the gods did this, the gods did this, A, B, C. And they started to map out everything they saw in the year 2025. So now, when I read ancient Greek mythology, I know I'm reading our future. I know I'm reading about the year 2025. So they're not talking about the stories of Gaia and what Gaia did. They're talking about me right now. They're not talking about the war of the gods back then. They're talking about this right now. They're talking about the war that's coming. They're talking about the apocalypse. And when you look at the Greek mythologies and the Ragnarok with Old Norse and Snorri Sturluson and the Bible, yeah, every one of them is the patterns the same. And the pattern that is the same is, oh, it's not the past, it's the future. But when you have access to Magian, you have the ability to read the universal clock, which is how divination occurs. You're just reading the universal clock. So there's a point in the universal clock where you can see the chirality. No one can see this yet. If they did, then the trendings would be different. And they also realize that the past is actually the future. So all of these, oh, the gods did this, is no, it's the gods will do this. The gods haven't done it yet. You've got your stories backwards because you think the past is the future. So you're not going to find your origin story so long as you think that the gods have already happened. No, they haven't. It has not taken place yet. So all these people who are going, oh, I'm this god, I'm this goddess, I'm this goddess, is actually cherry picking who they're going to be later, except Yeah. This is now we're looking at skill building. Now we're looking at skill building, because there's going to be people who only want one skill. There's going to be people who only want them. Now, the best way to explain it is if you look at Poseidon and L. L is water. It's everything. Poseidon is a lesser of L. And then Poseidon had, well, all of the nymphs. And all of the nymphs had their own little niche. So all of my bees are niching right now. And that's the part that they don't understand. All of the bees are niches. And they don't understand the concept of all. They're not at all going for all. They're niching. And it's amazing to watch, because I'm watching the nymphs. And that's what the bees are. The bees are the nymphs. The bees are all of the people who've niched. Every last one of them is niching, because they're just cherry picking which one of the skills they want, which is going to immediately put them right where they belong, right where they've always been, right where they, who they are. So it's really fascinating to see how the whole thing is mapping. So when you're building the components of your story, we're definitely going to do this in two parts. The components of your story is you need to understand how to find your origin, understanding the hierarchy. You have to understand your heading and the archetype. And you also have to understand your skills. And those are your three things that you're going to need right away for the components of your story. Next, we're going to go ahead and talk about how this all comes together.